from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. For the rest of the nation, realignment has to do with college football. But here in California, it's also the name for the massive population shift from state prisons to local lockups. The goal of the program was to shrink the number of people the state's responsible for, and realignment has done that. But a new study says some local law enforcement agencies are pushing the ball in the other direction, too. Michael Montgomery explains.
In the first year of realignment, California's swollen prison population dropped dramatically by some 27,000 inmates. So far, so good, until now. Mike Mayles is a senior fellow with the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice.
If you can go to a prison in one county for simple possession of drugs, but in another county you're just handled locally through local programs, that's really not equal protection under the law. So we may be at a point where to make realignment successful, we're going to have to see tighter criteria established by law for who can be sent to state prison.
Mail says new data shows the prison population is actually growing slightly in the fourth quarter of 2012. One problem is that while some counties are keeping low-level felons in local jails, as envisioned under realignment, others, including San Joaquin, Stanislaus, Orange, and Los Angeles counties, continue to send large numbers of nonviolent offenders to state lockups.
The problem is that realignment has stalled.
The new figures will be a disappointment for corrections officials, who are struggling to meet a court-ordered population cap. The deadline expires next June. For the California Report, I'm Michael Montgomery.
A few decades back, writers like John Fonte and later Charles Bukowski hung out in downtown Los Angeles, mulling over bad breaks and crafting the next hard-boiled sentence in Skid Row bars like the King Eddie Saloon. Today, it's the last bar on Skid Row, and King Eddie still serves the local, longtime down-and-out denizens. But the neighborhood is rapidly gentrifying, and as Alex Schmidt reports, the King Eddie's days are numbered.
The King Eddie Saloon sits on something of a border in downtown Los Angeles. To the west are the pretty twinkling lights and restored buildings of downtown's historic core. To the east are tents and shopping carts of Skid Row. The King Eddie, on the corner of 5th and Los Angeles streets, is right between them. The bar only closes between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's a haven for folks who live in the shelters and single-room occupancy hotels nearby. David Merritt, for one. He's been coming here just about every day since he moved into the Baltimore Hotel across the street 13 years ago.
You know, it's just nice to sit here and see your friends and stuff, you know. I'm going to miss this bar a whole lot. It's an end of era for Skid Row bars. This is the last one.
When new owners took over the building that houses the bar, they demanded that the King Eddie get a complete makeover. So this Sunday, the bar will close. Months from now, it'll reopen under new management as, longtime patrons fear, yet another fancy downtown L.A. bar catering to different clientele. Dustin Croix sits in his office at the back of the bar. He's the third generation of his family to run the King Eddie.
To us, our family, and to this place, there's no reason to change it. And it's, you know, people might think it's dirty, it's grungy, but it's a blue-collar bar, and it's part of people. It's part of people's hearts. To change it and turn it into something else, that's not what we want to be a part of.
A bar has occupied this space since 1906, when the King Edward Hotel opened to blue-collar workers flooding then-booming L.A. Richard Shave is a historian who owns Esoteric Tours. He stands in a corner next to the bar's plexiglass-enclosed smoking area. Shave says the King Eddie Saloon is the last place in Los Angeles to get a feel of the classic Skid Row culture that inspired writers like Charles Bukowski and John Fonte.
The Skid Row we're talking about is a blue-collar neighborhood. Job boards, single-room occupancy hotels, where you would come into town on a train. You picked up the job in Pedro rewiring the diesel engine. You came back, you blew your wad in a week on B-girls and your room and drinks.
When L.A. went dry in 1917 in anticipation of Prohibition, the King Eddie Saloon kept operating underground in the cellar. It was in that very cellar that John Fante's hero, Arturo Bandini, lost his first paycheck to a cheap, boozy broad in the 1933 book Ask the Dust. James M. Cain came here to find the linguistic cadence of The Postman Always Rings Twice. And inspiration is still here, or at least it was last week. Dave Stewart moved to Los Angeles from Richmond, Virginia, and has been getting drinks at the King Eddie for a few years.
I'm a writer, and there's no place I've ever been in my life where I've met, like, just so many interesting people with so many stories, and you don't get, like, this kind of slice of life that much anymore. The world's changing, so you gotta hold on to it.
Downtown has changed a lot over the past 100 years. There are now dozens of high-class food and drink establishments here, and upper-class loft living has exploded. Through it all, the King Eddie has been a constant. Longtime patron David Merritt thinks the bar is already changing, with newcomers here to check it out in its final week.
There's enough bars for those kind of people, isn't there? The other bars, they don't treat me very well. Or they just treat me like nothing. Like they're doing me a favor, give me a beer, you know?
New King Eddie management says when the bar reopens, everyone will be welcome. They plan to keep prices competitive. But David Merritt doubts that a new crop of patrons will want to mingle with the likes of Skid Row. For now, he sips a $4 beer as his song kicks in on the jukebox. Street Life by the Crusaders.
Yeah, there you go.
For the California Report, I'm Alex Schmidt.
And that's the California Report for Friday, December 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller, Howard Gelman, and Jim Bennett. Sarah Bond and Ina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our election editor. We had editorial help this week from Polly Stryker and Pat Flynn. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White and David Marks. Our associate senior producer is Victoria Malione. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com.